Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Political Rewind. It's 2:06 in the afternoon. We're coming to you, as we always do, live from the Midtown Atlanta studios of Georgia Public Broadcasting. And you know what? The blowback, the fallout, the reactions from the presidential debate Monday night continues to dominate national political news. And we are going to talk a lot about that this afternoon. We got some interesting new polling numbers on how the public responded to who won, who didn't win the debate, how Lester Holt did. We'll share those with you. We'll hear from Donald Trump as he continues to talk about Miss Universe, and we'll talk about the consequences of that, perhaps. And so to do all of that and a lot more, we have with us, very happy to welcome back to the GPB microphone, Democratic strategist Theron Johnson. He ran Barack Obama's 2012 Southern campaign, the reelection campaign. Jackie Cushman, who is a conservative writer. And we're so glad, Jackie. It's been way too long since you've been here.
Glad to be back. Thank you.
We're very happy to have you here. Her father, Newt Gingrich, has been a very active surrogate for Donald Trump traveling across the country. And we welcome today Ty Tagami. He's the state education reporter for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Jim Galloway is taking a day off. He'll be back with us on Friday. We'll tell you about that show in a little while. And as we begin our conversation, you can tweet us at PoliticsGPB to join the conversation. So while we're going to talk a lot about presidential during our show today, there's a big issue that's bubbled up in the state that is around Governor Deal's referendum to ask voters whether they want to approve the opportunity school districts. And it's going to be a big, big issue on the ballot on November 8th. There's already a lot of activity around it right now. Governor Deal is pushing hard for passage of it, but a number of educational organizations have come out very actively to oppose it. And since you're going to be out there voting on it on November 8th, we thought we ought to dig into that conversation as a starting point today. So Ty Tagami, let's do the most basic thing about this. What does Governor Deal want to do? What does the Opportunity School District do?
Well, Governor Deal is focusing on schools that are performing poorly, failing on our state report card. There are more than 100 of them, more than 120. And his argument is that local school districts have had generations to turn these schools around, and they haven't. These kids are stuck in failing schools, and it perpetuates a cycle of poverty. He wants to intervene. Now, and his idea is to take over these schools and either run them directly or with the school board, the local school boards, or convert them to charter schools, or worst case, shut them down.
And the question becomes, it's been described in many places as a state takeover of failing schools. And there's been some debate over whether that language is correct. What do you say about it? Is it a state takeover?
Well, that language does not appear on the ballot.
Right.
Amendment 1, which, although this is very important, it's way down in the ballot, and a lot of people don't know that this is there. But the critics of this this proposal rightly note that the state would seize control over the schools and their assets and the funding that goes to them from local taxpayers. And the superintendent, who would answer only to the governor, would then decide, with some input from the community, what to do with those schools and how ultimately that money would be spent.
Jackie, one of the things I find fascinating about the Opportunity Schools Act is that here's a Republican governor, and a governor who I think would call himself a conservative Republican governor. You know, the Republican way of life is local control, local control, local control. He, though, believes that this is his best shot at reforming those schools where children are not getting the proper education. That's a hard one for a lot of conservatives to swallow, though, isn't it?
I think it's important to kind of step back and to go through the thought process that Governor Deal has gone through and why he is where he is today. So first of all, remember that his wife, Sandra, was a teacher. And is very invested, in fact, is very involved in children's education and cares very, very deeply about children's education. That's a good thing. I think we can all agree that that is a good thing. I think secondarily, if you look what Governor Deal has done with the pre-K side, he's really looked at focusing on quality care for the state. He's really focusing on getting children ready for kindergarten. So they've instituted the quality care rating system where they can, where people can voluntarily, the child care centers can go and get rated, and based on rating, they can get private incentive dollars to help them through that process. And then parents know that they're going somewhere that's good for their children, that it's an education, not just a place to drop their child off. And so he's very, very focused in this area. And then for him, I think, to look at a system that I think the numbers that I heard, and Ty, correct me if I'm wrong, that there are some 68,000 students in Georgia that are not getting the education, that are getting a failing education, and their schools are failing them. So I think Deal has to finally kind of come to the point where, what are we going to do? I mean, that is a fact. All those are facts. The question is, what do you do about it? Now, he's saying, we can't just leave them there. We can't just say it's fine for them to fail. We have to do something different. And this is his view of doing something different. I would just like to add that there are two things that I think, just a little more details in the amendment. One, they can only take 20 schools a year.
True.
So it's not a, you know, go out first year and drag, you know, hundreds of schools into this process. And then it caps off at 100 schools total. So there are parameters around what's going to happen. I mean, my guess is Dill would be very happy if no schools actually met this measure and there were no more failing schools, and this wouldn't be a problem.
Theron, the Ty Tagami, just, you had a piece in the paper this morning. I'll ask Theron about it and then let you. That there's a group now that has filed a lawsuit saying the language of the amendment of the referendum is such that it misleads people. One of the people behind that referendum is a Reverend Tim McDonald, I believe, and they feel that the public is being misled in terms of what the implications of this are. Nathan Deal's facing a lot of interesting pressure on this thing.
Well, let's go back to the inception of this whole school takeover, because that's really what it was called in the media. The media came out right away and said that there was this big number of failing schools in the state of Georgia. What the media failed to really do, and I think it's coming back to haunt the people who are actually trying to promote OSD, is that it never really talked about how you measure successful schools. Yes, there are schools that are going through transition in our state who have had tough test scores and had failing test scores, but there are so many schools, particularly in DeKalb County, APS, and Fulton County, that are actually succeeding. Now, to Ty's article about filing a lawsuit, listen, if you really look at this bill, the opposition to OSD has actually really ramped up. I mean, if you look at the amount of money that's been spent to oppose this measure, it's really been 3-1. Now, the governor is making fundraising calls. He's actually going to ante up, and I think he's going to finish strong. But let's just go to really look at this, and particularly the lawsuit. And I'm so glad that this lawsuit was filed. If you read the ballot question as it's currently written, it makes you as a voter say, oh, my God, how can I possibly be against, quote unquote, helping kids? But one of the things that people really got to do, they got to really read the fine print. One of the things that Todd mentioned, I want to make sure that our listeners do not miss this point, is if OSD passes, it will create an enormous amount of bureaucracy. The governor will have an opportunity to pick someone who's not in education to basically come in and run this process. The second thing that it will do, it takes away total local control. That's something that the Republicans for decades were for. I mean, it takes away local control as far as parents having local control, local school board members. And it also shows that it's going to take millions and millions and millions of dollars from our public education system.
I have got to, I want to give each of you a chance to weigh in. We're going to take a break now because we are looking for you to help support Georgia Public Broadcasting during this a period in which we are coming to you and saying become a member, help support shows like Two-Way Street and Political Rewind on Second Thought. Ty, when we come back, I want to hear more of your response to what you've been hearing. Programming like this that bring liberal Theron Johnson, conservative Jackie Cushman together, they get along so well in personal life, and I love to hear them argue when they're on this show, and you're the reason out there that we can bring them in here. We're talking with Jackie Theron and Ty Tagami, the state education reporter for the AJC, about the governor's referendum, the initiative that would allow for states to intervene, to take control of failing schools. Ty, first of all, we've alluded to opposition. There are some significant groups that have lined up against this measure.
Yeah, and I'm not so sure if it's it's the significance of one group. There is a group that's sort of spearheaded by teachers' organizations, Keep Georgia Schools Local. But there's an informal coalition that's grown in the and maybe a bit of a surprise to people with school boards in Republican-dominated areas like Cherokee County, in Barrow County near Gwinnett, voting resolutions against the Opportunity School District, arguing it would, along the same lines that teachers have argued, that it
I
would
believe I'm right. Also, the Georgia PTA has
and the
taken
PTA
a stand
with the Georgia
it.
PTA with a quarter million. They have a quarter million members took a stand, and they're all saying the same thing basically about local control and questioning the path that the governor wants to take the state with the OS the Opportunity School District.
As you watch this issue, because nobody's closer to it than you've been at the paper, are you seeing enough opposition forming around this that the governor could lose this referendum? I know you're a reporter, not an analyst. Nevertheless, you do see things developing out there.
Yeah, well, we have no polling numbers to tell us anything definitively, but I can tell you that when I talk to people on the street, the number one response I get is a blank stare. So whether anybody has had any traction here remains to be seen. Now, the ads are starting to come out, and people are starting to hear the ads. But this is a really complicated issue, and to really make a decision, you'd need to delve into the law and do a lot of reading.
Well, another challenge we're going to have is it a presidential election year? And I know we'll go to that later, but I do think in years like these, you do have larger turnouts, which is good for voting, but I think you also can get drowned in terms of just the volume and noise out there for the other races. And so to your point, having someone take a step back and look at the details of a local, you know, a statewide referendum, I think is a little difficult sometimes.
Well, as Bill just mentioned, I mean, Jackie and I are good friends, and I think the one thing that we agree on, and she's like most Republican, educated Republican women voters in the state of Georgia, is that they care deeply about public education. So when I hear Ty say that folks have a blank stare, it's because whether you're Democrat, Republican, white, black, Latino, Asian, when you look at the question, it's so difficult to truly understand. But the difference is that honestly, again, I'm so glad that this lawsuit was filed, because even if it's, you know, a verdict is reached by the time the actually vote happens, that may or may not happen. But the truth of the matter is that it forces the voters to really make the governor's team and also the opposition really explain both sides. But to me, I think it resonates particularly with white Republican moderate women who really care deeply about education, whether their children go there or not, because we clearly know that the PTA organizations, all the educational organizations are adamantly against this. And I think what the governor is looking at closely, at a time when he vetoed a gun bill, at a time when he vetoed a RFRA bill, religious freedom bill, one of the reasons that he always stated into his opposition to those two bills is because he received a lot of input, a lot of resistance from a lot of different groups that were concerned deeply about that. So I think at a time where this is going to be very close, I just think you cannot ignore the amount of parents, students, and student groups who are adamantly opposed to this measure.
And the interesting thing, back to Governor Deal, I think the interesting thing about Deal is, even though he is a Republican conservative, I think he has really reached out on a couple of different issues, which makes him a little different. I think one is criminal justice reform. He's
right.
Worked very hard on that to work with the criminal justice reform. And I do think, even though you can argue whether or not this is the way to do it, I think his passion and concern for the 68,000 students who are not getting the education they need in Georgia is real. I think if there are solutions that would look differently, I think he would listen to them. But I do think it's really great that we're sitting here talking about public education and how to make it better. And any time that you can get people to think about that and then to get more engaged in the local level, I think it's helpful to everybody.
I'm glad that you used the word passion, Jackie, because Ty, in his passion for this matter, trying to help these schools improve, he hasn't necessarily, the governor, I mean, been the most politic of advocates for it. He went out and essentially attacked those organizations which are opposing him on this. And he, I think, correct me if I say this wrong, he essentially congratulated superintendents for keeping their mouths shut about this thing.
Yes, those
Donald
were.
Donald Trump is rubbing off on him a little bit.
Those were his words. And he seemed a little flabbergasted, I think, by the response that he's been getting. So he was speaking in a room full of superintendents at an annual summit in Atlanta when he said that. But he was his main ire was focused on the school boards that have started to vote against the resolution. Where no one's keeping a real count, but we're into the 30s or 40s at this point.
Interesting.
And to Ty's point is that, and real quick, Bill, I know you want to move on, but it was very uncharacteristic of the governor. I mean, he usually does not make those types of gaffes.
Yeah.
I mean, and so you can tell why I agree with Jackie that he's very passionate about criminal justice reform and he wants to do something about education. But to go out and sort of imply that, yes, superintendents, I know you guys are receiving pressures because your local school boards are voting against this and they don't want it to happen, but thank you for keeping your mouth shut because I want you to stand with me if we pass this bill. So now that kind of infers that, yeah, if you're a superintendent in a rural area or Atlanta metropolitan area, now you are afraid to say something because now the governor has basically indirectly said, hey, if you say something, I'm going to criticize you like I've been criticizing these groups.
Well, maybe that's a tactic. Let's go to some of the tweets that we've gotten because I think there's some interesting ones. You can tweet us at PoliticsGPB. Douglas Hooker has tweeted us, and if it's the Douglas Hooker who we know, a leader at the Atlanta Regional Commission, more power to him. If Deal cared about public school reform, he would have started with funding and districting. And he sends a second tweet saying, Georgia communities draw lines and divide funds to benefit wealthy communities. That leaves poor communities further behind. We'll talk about that. Sam Burnham tweets, failing schools are in failing communities. We need ideas to help the community's illnesses, not just apply a school Band-Aid. Okay, so to the first couple of tweets, it is true that the governor has a bigger way that he can share state funding more equitably and perhaps improve schools in failing districts, which is by redoing the quality basic education funding formula. And he's put that off for two sessions. You got about a minute to say something about it now.
Yeah, it's called education reform. He appointed a commission that spent close to a year last year studying a variety of issues, and funding was one of the top ones. We don't have a real clear proposal at this point, but at that same meeting with the superintendents recently, the governor said it's going to be a top issue next year.
All right. We've got to take a break. I'm already a little bit late for it. One quick note. Douglas Hooker, who we quoted as a tweeter to us a little while ago, he just sent us another one saying, I'm not Doug Hooker, the Atlanta Regional Commission director. I know him, though. Nice guy, he said. So we don't want the real Doug or the Doug Hooker we all know to be assigned comments he didn't make. Let's talk presidential with Ty Tagami of the AJC, Jackie Cushman, and Theron Johnson. I want to share with you all a poll that some of you may or others may not have seen. Politico Magazine has now formed a partnership with the Morning Consult, which you're going to be hearing a lot more about. They're doing a whole new kind of polling in this election. And they found something pretty interesting. They found that Hillary Clinton, according to their poll, picked up several points in her race against Trump. They had shown her up by 1 point before the debate, up 3 now. But they also say that only 9% of respondents said the debate changed their minds about who to vote for. I thought that was in and of itself. And they did say they thought Hillary Clinton was the winner, 49% to 26%. So let's start with this. Jackie, Hillary Clinton really, I think, caught Trump completely off guard by introducing the Miss Universe winner, Alicia Machado, who Trump apparently, or Clinton says, kind of bullied her when she was Miss Universe because she was overweight. And he followed up on it a day later on Fox in the morning. Let's hear how she responded, because the Clinton folks are really getting her out there.
I listened a few comments from him when he was my boss, but I don't want to talk about it because it's something too much rude for the black community, and I respect a lot that things.
So not just against Latinos, you're saying blacks, African Americans as well?
Yes, he don't like that people either. He's trying to make distractions, and now he is in the churches. He's ridiculous.
So I apologize. I should have set that up. In addition to saying that he was bullying her, she was asked whether she thought he was a racist, and this was how she responded to it. Jackie, the Trump campaign has done such a good job getting him normalized for weeks and weeks. It's helped him in the polls. What the heck happened on Monday night and then on Tuesday morning and throughout the day when he kept repeating this stuff?
I think first a couple of things. First, you're right. Kellyanne Conway is his new campaign manager. I think a lot of Kellyanne. She's very smart. Her background is in polling, so she has real data to give to him, which I'm sure he loves to look at numbers. She's very direct. She worked for my father for a while, so I've known her personally, and she doesn't hedge what she says. She's very direct with people, and that's probably to Trump's benefit. I do think the environment on Monday night was different than he's ever experienced. I mean, Hillary has gone head-to-head when she ran in 2008. She was against Barack Obama in the in the presidential primaries, and so she's had that one-on-one experience, and we saw some times when she did really well, and sometimes when Obama did better than she did, depending. But remember, Trump was on stage with, at times, up to 9 other people. And so it's a very, very different environment than anything he's been on before. It was just he and Secretary Clinton and the moderator. It was 90 minutes. It was no breaks, where they've had commercial breaks again. So this is a very different environment. And I've gone to, I don't even know how many debates, tens and dozens, hundreds. I don't know how many debates I've gone to, but they're all a little different. So I do think that was different. I think for Trump, his goal for this debate was to appear confident and to appear presidential, because Hillary Clinton's been around for a long time. Everyone knows her as Secretary of State. They can understand how she could do the job. They need him to think of him in the same way. I think he actually cleared that bar. I do think that Clinton won the debate, and we can talk, Theron, about how she did in that situation. I think clearly she was much more poised, much more prepared, much more polished. But I think he also created a framework of laid the groundwork for how they're very different. Now, in terms of your particular question in this, I think you're bringing up things that happened 20 years ago. And I think what's happening is that because Democrats can't, in this instance, and I know Theron's going to disagree with me, because they can't win on policy, they want to run on personality.
All right. Well, Theron, let's give you a chance to respond. I mean, but certainly both Clinton and Trump went into that debate knowing there are certain voting groups they need. And one of those groups is suburban women. I don't think Donald Trump did himself any good with those women.
It's really simple. You had one candidate in Hillary Clinton who was prepared for the debate. And you had another candidate, the GOP candidate, Donald Trump, who was completely and totally unprepared for the debate. That's number one. Jackie is doing a really good job of trying to spin it and say, oh, my God, this guy, he was with 9 people. He was with 3 people. He was with 16 people. Who cares? You're running for the president of the United States of America. If you cannot, for an hour and a half or hour and 40 minutes, clearly convey to the American people where you stand on important issues like education, health care, foreign policy, it's just you shouldn't be running. But let's get to what you just said, Bill. This is so important. The polls show that Hillary Clinton did nothing to basically lose support in the debate. And Donald Trump, if you're supporting him, you didn't stop supporting him. As we know, and Jackie know, I know this better than anyone, is that, like her, I've been on a presidential campaign. You win by getting battleground states that have a very diverse group of voters. Donald Trump went out of his way to basically say, you know what, I'm going to try to win this election by just getting white people to vote for me, because there's no way in the world that he thought that he could get the Latino vote by basically doubling down on these insults that he should apologize to this woman to by basically even calling her Miss Piggy. Then when he was asked, what would he do to improve the race relations in our country? As we sit here, as I'm sitting here basically just scrolling through my Twitter, another unarmed black man was just killed in San Diego.
Really?
Okay. So when he was asked the question, and said, how are you going to improve race relations between African-Americans and white people, and particularly white officers who are killing, who are attacking, who are on an all-out assault to kill men and women who are black, who are unarmed? His response was, I say nothing. So to your point, Bill, listen, he's going to lose this election. He's going to lose it badly. And he is going to go down in history as getting the least amount of votes than any Republican has ever gotten from other people who are not white voters.
All right. I do think we've got a minute. And by the way, Jenny Ammit just confirmed what you said about we've had another shooting.
Another one. This is what's going on in this country right now. Yeah.
Jackie, one thing, and I'm going to give you about 30 seconds on this and then let Theron come back on it. I believe that Donald Trump, because the Clinton campaign has done a pretty lousy job running her campaign over the throughout August and early September, I thought he had the momentum going into this debate. I think this debate may have stopped him in his tracks. It certainly gave her renewed life. Wouldn't you agree?
Well, I think it gave her renewed life. But I think, if you look at the first debates last time around, Romney actually had a pickup after the first debate. He gained some ground after the debate. We all know how that ended up. So, you know, one debate does not an election make.
Of course not.
But it brought her back.
But I think
his bar was to be on stage with her and to hold that side of the stage. I think he did that. I disagree with Theron because Donald Trump has gone into the inner city. He has talked to those communities. He's very interested in helping those communities. And his challenge is what we're doing now isn't working. We have to do something
different.
All right.
We are going to pick up right there. What is Donald Trump doing in the African-American community? But first, you know what? The comedians have been having a field day with the debate Monday night, and Robert Jimison collected a sample of some of them.
Testing, testing. Trumped up, trickle down. Trumped up, trickle down. Pause for applause. And nothing. Okay.
That was Hillary. Following last night's debate, Donald Trump blamed his poor performance on a defective mic that may have been planted at his podium on purpose. Apparently, the mic had a defect that caused it to pick up everything he said.
Great, people are hearing this? Well, that's very bad for me. I spent most of the debate praying Hillary wouldn't cough. The entire time, I was like, if you cough, we all die.
She may not have pneumonia, but she is showing all the signs of dance fever.
Okay.
Seth Meyers, Stephen Colbert, Trevor Noah, and Jimmy Kimmel on the debate the other night. So, Theron Johnson, let's go back to two aspects that we talked about. Number one, women, particularly suburban women. Number two, African Americans. Now, here in Georgia, do we believe at this point that Georgia is a purple state, and could suburban women make it one, despite all the talk about Hispanic votes and African-American votes? What's your take on that?
Well, demographically, Georgia is already a blue state. I mean, if you look at the amount of people who actually reside here, these are folks who, if they were registered and would turn out, we would actually be a blue state. The problem is that, you know, we've got to get folks registered and we got to get them turned out. But I think particularly when it comes to Georgia, I think that the Mayor Reed was so right to basically put out sort of another call to action and ask the Hillary Clinton campaign to really reinvest in Georgia. Now, I would tell you this. I have to compliment them. These are the most staffers I've seen on the ground at the Democratic Party of Georgia from a presidential campaign than we've seen at least in the last 2 to 3 cycles. And so, but to get to your point about suburban women, and Jackie knows this, Bill, what we have in the state is what I like to call disaffected Republicans. These are Republicans who did not want Donald Trump to be their nominee. They didn't vote for him. These are folks who are more your insider people. However, now they're stuck with the guy. They will say to me, and they said to other folks in this room constantly, that, you know what, I just cannot get myself to vote for this person. But what overcomes their logic is that they hate Hillary Clinton so bad because of all these issues that I'm sure Jackie is going to bring up. So I think what's going to happen in Georgia is that if we could really get folks motivated, particularly the minority groups and women, but at the same time hope that the folks who are what I call disaffected Republicans, particularly moderate suburban women who really would tell their husbands, hey, I can't vote for this guy because he doesn't treat women well. If that number can go down and we can increase our numbers, then maybe we'll have a shot. But right now, I think it's just too hard to try to do both.
On the opposite side, I've had numerous Democrats come to me, people who have never voted Republican, and say they just can't vote for Hillary Clinton. So I think on both sides, what's fascinating is if you look at the race, on both sides you have candidates that can't seem to get much above, you know, 43, 44. They kind of hold there. You know, Hillary Clinton has been running for this office for decades. I mean, she has worked at this. She has become a senator. She has become the Secretary of State. She tried to run against President Barack Obama. She's still below 50%. That's got to drive her.
Yeah, but she's leading, though, Jackie, in a national poll. I mean, let's just be fair.
Point,
like, okay, but she is leading. If the election was today, she would win.
Right, and again, after that many decades of work, you would think someone who just came along who we couldn't even imagine was a Republican nominee couldn't be that close. So I think part of the challenge we have is that we're looking at a choice between the status quo, which is Hillary Clinton. She's been around forever. Things will be very similar to the way they've been. And someone who, as we can all say, will change the system. Now, we can't say for sure how it would change.
Everybody is saying this is a change election.
Absolutely.
And under normal circumstances, the change candidate, Donald Trump, probably ought to win on that basis, but he's just too flawed.
But 58% of the American people, let's talk. Okay, what are we changing? Okay, 58% of the American people, Jackie, you know this, male, female, white, black, Asian, Hispanic, Republican, Democrat, think that President Obama is doing a great job. So,
I think 76% of people think we're on the wrong track. So I think you're looking at policy
versus
personality.
But also, as you know, you're a historian like I am, this is the highest that a president has ever been while he's ending his term, and it's higher than Ronald Reagan, and it was higher than the first George Bush and the second George Bush. But the one thing that we hinted on the break is that one of the reasons why I think people are going to hold both candidates to a higher standard is because President Obama is going to go down in history as having one of the best 8 years of a scandal-free administration, where you're not seeing the typical stuff that we saw with George Bush. He was exiting around Halliburton and all this stuff. President Obama has been very high on integrity and ethics, and I think that's what the country is looking for, someone that can continue to stabilize.
Meanwhile, we have a private email server in her basement, and we have issues by the Clinton
Foundation.
So I think you've got a real problem.
But you got a guy that will not release his tax returns because he basically wants to break for the standard, and because we know that he's not paying federal taxes, and we know that he's not as rich as he really is, and we know that he's not giving all those charitable contributions.
All right, I got to call a stop to this because we're about to finish up. Ty Tagami, two things. Number one, what we have not talked about at all, what the candidates aren't talking about, is education. We usually hear so much in a presidential race about education. We're hearing nothing. That's one thing. And number two is we haven't talked enough today about the opportunity school districts and where we're headed on those. So I'm going to invite you back right now before November 8th. We'll pick a date and we will have a much more robust conversation about both of those things. Will you come back and do it again?
I'll be here.
All right. Jackie Cushman, it's so great to have you back here. And you too, Theron Johnson. I missed you two fighting
We miss fighting.
We're out of time for today. Friday, Senator Johnny Isaacson will be here to talk with Jim Galloway and me about his Senate reelection campaign, about what it's like to run with Donald Trump at the head of your ticket. I'm Bill Nigut. See you on Friday at 3:00.